Okay, so first of all, big yashar koach to Yoav for Yoav Fink for sponsoring the breakfast this morning. It should be a schus for him. All the maises he's connected to, Bez Hashem. Schus for the kehila, for all of Klal Yisrael. Should only hear good news. Okay, so getting back to Sefer Shoftim. So we spent a while talking about the maisa with Sisra and Devira and so on. But now, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, you know, you can never say that you finished something, but at least it's time to move on. So this just grabbed a mistake. On the top, I put Perek Zayin. It's really Perek Vav. So that's really, so those that are keeping score shouldn't be too confused. So up to Perek Vav. So Perek Vav, really the next few prakim in Sefer Shoftim is talking about the next story, the next Shoftit, who is Gidon, the Shoftit of Gidon. So it's a long, involved story. Probably the best thing would be to sort of like go through the story first and then learn it, but I don't know, maybe it's good homework to do, and as we go through the story, Ian will sort of fill in the gaps, but I figured maybe for this week and next week, it'll be more of an introductory learning in terms of getting ready to be Isaac into the story, into the parasha of Gidon. Just a little rush at Prokem, without getting too much into the story itself. Again, you don't have this in front of you, but Perek Vav begins in the usual model, which is V'yasu b'nei Yisrael hara b'nei Hashem. Right, so everything was good. Devar took care of all the problems, but then Devar was Niftara, so then there's a vacuum in leadership. So the Jewish people fall into negativity. They do what is not good in the eyes of Hashem. And V'yit neim Hashem b'yad Midyan shavashanim. And now the new enemy is Midyan. Right, Midyan, right, takes us back to. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu went to Midian, and he ran away from Paro in Midian. So Midian is now the bad guy, and they're the enemy for 7 years, and they give tzaras to Klal Yisrael for 7 years. Now, what's interesting, again, we're not going to go into all these details today, obviously, but what's interesting is that the particular type of tzaras that Midian gave to Klal Yisrael, the Navi goes on to explain that it was specifically about food, that they gave tzaras to Klal Yisrael in terms of our ability to work the land, and to farm the land, any vegetation, any produce that was produced, they would take. So it caused a lot of, you know, it was like almost a famine in Eretz Yisrael, not because the land wasn't producing, but because it was being taken by Midian. So it caused problems. And in this context, so the pasuk interestingly says that the main problem was Midian, but the pasuk says as follows, that sort of tagging along to Midian was also Amalek. That's what the pasuk says. And throughout the story of Gidon, Gidon is fighting against primarily Midian, but also with Amalek at the same time. So again, that'll become relevant later on in the story. So who's Gidon? So the pasuk introduces us that Gidon is from Shevet Ben Asher. We spoke about this once before. Maybe it was in Sefer Yeshua that throughout Sefer Shoftim, every Shevet, except for Shevet Shimon, ironically, but every Shevet has a Shoftim amongst its history. So Shevet Menashe is Gidon. Gidon is from Shevet Menashe, and the pasuk says that Gidon, his father's name was Yoyash, Gidon ben Yoyash. His father evidently was somewhat wealthy and influential, and he had a huge farm, a huge estate, but you weren't able to farm it. You weren't able to produce. But Gidon goes against the rules, you know, the laws of Midian, and he wakes up early in the morning to farm the land, to try to gather as much produce as possible, to hide it for Yidden, to try to help Yidden have a parnasa. So it's in that context that the Malach appears to Gidon and basically says, okay, you're the Shoftim, and you're going to save Klal Yisrael. Again, we'll see next time some of the Pratim. But just one Nakuda that, and then we'll be able to make a little bit of an introduction to it, is that the pasuk then says to, then the pasuk tells us that Hashem appears to Gidon. The first interaction Gidon has is with a malach. That's one conversation. That's when he's officially appointed as the shofet through this malach. And then afterwards, the malach goes away, and then he has a proper nevuah from Hashem. And Hashem tells Gidon that he has to take one of the oxen from his father's estate, a shor from his father's estate, and he has to make a carbon. He has to sacrifice a carbon. And Hashem tells him, now here's what's interesting. This was at a time of where the Mishkan Shiloh was built. So by the times of Shiloh, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, you weren't allowed to bring karbanos anywhere other than Shiloh. It's called kachechutz. You're bringing karbanos outside the Mishkan. So, but this was one of the exceptions. The Gemara says in Tmura, we'll see about this soon. There's a Gemara in Tmura Daf Chafei. The Gemara says that this karban that Gidon brings was actually in violation of 8 halachas. Like what usually any one of the 8 halachas would make the karban pasul, but it was a harosha. It's an exception to the rule. It was brought at night. It was not with a kain. He wasn't a kain. He's from Shev Menashe. He's sacrificing a karban. The karban, it's outside the Mishkan of Shiloh. He wasn't wearing big dekun, obviously. A number of psulim. But what the most very, very interesting psulim was is that this behema was actually designated for Avodah Zarah. And this is part of what's going on throughout the whole episode of Gidon. And this is what we're going to be focused on today, which is that the particular Avodah Zarah that the Jewish people were struggling with, and the truth is, B'derach Klal, this is an Avodah Zarah that Klal Yisrael, throughout their history in Eretz Yisrael, until the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, it was a struggle, which is the Avodah Zarah of Baal. The Avodah Zarah of Baal. We don't find this Avodah Zarah being mentioned pre-Eretz Yisrael, right? In the Midbar, we don't find such a thing. It was an Avodah Zarah amongst the Canaanim in Eretz Yisrael. That's where it was. But this was like a big issue. It was a big issue. Not only was it a big issue with Klal, but specifically with Gidon, like that was the main problem. The main problem that Klal Yisrael fell into was Avodah Zarah of Baal. It was Avodah Zarah of Baal. Ad kedei kach, that when Gidon is appointed as the Shofet, we'll see in a second, he's given a nickname. The Pasuk gives him a nickname, Yerubal. Yerubal. Yerubal means the one that fights against Baal. So the whole inning of Gidon, to a certain sense, has to be seen in the context of trying to get rid of this klipa that's called Baal. To get rid of that klipa. Now, again, going back to the carbon, what's interesting about this carbon is that this was a par, this was an ox that was designated to the Baal. So the halach is that if you have an animal that's muksa, that's designated for Avodah Zarah, not you can't have any benefit from it, then you certainly can't be makavet as a carbon. But again, this was one of the exceptions that usually this thing would be pasul. Not only that, but the pasuk says to Gidon that where should he sacrifice this carbon? Not in the Mishkan. He should sacrifice it in the Mizbeach that his father had. What does his father have a Mizbeach for? His father had a Mizbeach for Baal. Mizbeach for Baal. So Hashem said, take the Mizbeach that your father built for Baal, and I want you to bring this carbon that's designated for Baal, and bring it as a carbon to Hashem. And not only that, and the wood that you should use to burn it with should be taken from a tree that your father planted near the Mizbeach, which was an Asherah. That was the custom, that you would have a Mizbeach for Baal, and an Asherah tree connected to it, or next to it, whatever. So take, it's mamash. Again, the Gemara says in Torah, like 8 different psulim. Now, what's interesting is that the next morning, this is all happening at night. Again, that's one of the reasons why the carbon would have been pasul. But that's what Hashem said, do it at night. So again, you don't have this in front of you, which is interesting. The pasuk says like this, Ve'ishkimu anshe yir b'baikir, so the people of the city wake up in the morning. V'hine nutatz mizbach habal. And they see that the mizbeach, evidently, Yoyesh is mizbeach. This was like a communal, all the people that were doing baal would use his mizbeach. And so they see the comfort chakras, the Mizbech is gone. So they say, V'yom Rishariyah, Miyasa Davezeh, who did this? It was destroyed. So V'yidishu V'yivakshu, and they investigated, and they found, oh, it was Gidon ben Yoyash. It was Gidon, the Yoyash's son, he did this. So V'yom Ra'ansha Yel Yoyash, it's interesting. So the people go to Yoyash, the father, and they say, Haitzis Bincha V'yomais, give us your son, he's Chayiv Misa. Again, in Hilchas Baal, it's Chayiv Misa. Kinotza says Mizbech HaBaal, because he uprooted the Mizbech of the Baal. That's what happened. Like he uses the Mizbech for Hashem, and then he destroys it. V'chikar sa'asher ha'shalav, he cut down the Asherah tree. So Yoyash defends his son. V'yarma Yoyash, the kol asher omdu olav. It's like similar, it reminds you of like an Avraham Avinu story. But Yoyash says to the people, ha'atim triven l'Baal, well, you have to fight for Baal. Ha'atim tashinoi, so you have to protect Baal from my son. Asher Yarav, well, you, he says, Emilhimu, if Baal is a god, then let him defend himself. You have to. So it's like, there's like someone to have from. So the Pasuk says, so the Pasuk continues, Vayikruloi Vayomahu Yerubal. And this is when, like, he got the nickname. He got the nickname Yerubal. In other words, Yarav by Habal, Kinatza says Mizbech. It's like an ironic nickname, right? Simple. words you would say is like, he's fighting against Baal, but it's like, Ru Baal, like, let Baal fight him. Like, if Baal is real, let him take care of it. And Gideon's walking around fine, which means there's no such thing as Baal. Okay, so we have to figure this out. So you have Gideon from the Sheva Menashe, the Iker Inim is Baal. And again, like I said, Baal has been it's a running problem throughout Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So we have a number of things to investigate. What's this Inim of Baal? Like, what's this Inim of Baal? I understand practically it was one of the Avodah Zarahs of the Kananim, so Mimela, there was influence there, but like, what's the Klipa of Baal? Why is it specifically, why does it give Klal Yisrael such a hard time in Eretz Yisrael? Right? And what is it Gideon? Why is Gideon, like his Inyan is to undermine the Klipa of Baal? Arkadeh that he's given the nickname Yeru Baal. And again, it's not a coincidence, it's from Shev Menashe. So what's... Okay, so... We'll go like this. One other puzzle piece. Okay? One other puzzle piece. Take a look at Marmukah number one. Okay? So, Marmukah number one is from Pirkei Derabbi Elazar. Pirkei Derabbi Elazar, Perek Lamed Ches. So, Pirkei Derabbi Elazar is talking about, it's grabbed these parshias. So, we know it says in Pasuk, parshias Miketz, that Yosef HaTzadik marries, right? Yosef HaTzadik has an issue with Eshes Potiphar. We understand that he overcomes that Nisayin. But it says in Pasuk that Yosef HaTzadik marries Osnas Bas Potiphara, right? He marries Osnas. And from there, he has Menashe and Ephraim. So who is Osnas? So again, the Pasuk says she was the daughter of Potiphar. So it says in the Medrash like this. In Pirkei Derabbi Elazar, it says that when we know that going back to Parshas, what was it? Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu, right? Dina is attacked by Shechem, right? She's taken by Shechem. So it says in the Medrash, in Pirkei Derabbi Elazar, Vaharasa Vayolda Es Osnas. That from the relationship of Dina with Shechem, Dina became pregnant and she gave birth to a daughter, Osnas. So Osnas is the daughter of Dina. Says the Medrash, Ma'asa Yaakov. Yaakov wanted to somehow show that despite her lineage, she's Osnas is a pure neshama. So Ma'asa Yaakov, what did Yaakov do? Says the Medrash, Hevi Tzitz. Yaakov brought a tzitz like the Kohen Gadol wears, you know. V'kasaval of Shem HaKadosh, and he wrote on it the name of Hashem. V'tol al tzavara, and he put it on her neck. So this was like a simon that she's Kodesh LaShem. That's the simple pshat in the tzitz, right? When the tzitz says Kodesh LaShem, who's Kodesh LaShem? So the Rabbi Ben Aram, many Rishonim say, it's done with the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, I'm Kodesh LaShem. So that Yaakov takes this and puts it on her neck. Kodesh LaShem. Now, says the Medrash, V'sholchav Halachala, so she goes like this. V'akol tzavuf ne'eklesh baruch. Says the Medrash, the Rabbanu Shalom knows everything. And the Rabbanu Shalom needs to make a shidduch between Yosef and Osnas. But Yosef is going to be Mitzrayim, so we need to get Osnas to Mitzrayim. So it says in Pasuk, so it says in the Medrash, V'yard Michal HaMalach, Michal comes, V'hirid el Mitzrayim. And somehow, I don't know, he brings the Malach Michal, brings Osnas to Mitzrayim. L'beisa shel Potiphar. And she's in the house of Potiphar. Shaisa Osnas really Yosef, because Osnas was supposed to marry Yosef, there is Shidduch, Leisha. V'yisa isha shel Potiphar Akara. And the wife of Potiphar, the one that gave Yosef the tzaras, she was an Akara, she didn't have any children. V'gidl Oysa Kabas, and she raised Osnas, she like adopted Osnas as a daughter. Because she heard Yosef Mitzrayim, when Yosef goes to Mitzrayim, Lochaloi. Yosef marries Osnas. Okay, fine. So Osnas, interesting. So Osnas is in fact the daughter of Dina, right? Coming from the union of Shechem with Dina, that's Osnas. And Yosef marries Osnas. And from there comes Menashe and Ephraim. Take a look at Marmukah number two. In Marmukah number two, there's a Sefer Gagul and Neshamas to the Ramami Panu. Ramami Panu is a great Mekubalim of Italy. So in his Sefer Gagul and Neshamas, in Ois Pei, he says the following thing. He's talking about this ox that Gideon sacrifices, right? Going to our story by Gideon. So he has the shore that he sacrifices. And this is like a moment of him becoming the Shofet, which at the same time is him undermining Baal, right? That's what's going on over here. So says the Ramami Panel like this. The Tzivu Lekadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabbanu Shalom commands Gideon, Kach es par hashar. That's the language of the Pasuk. Kach es par hashar. Take the cow ox. So ask the Ramami Panel, Nemar par lamenem hashar. What does it mean? par shor. If it's a par, call it a par. If it's a shor, call it a shor. What does it mean? The gam kosher lama beha yidi. What's the shor? That's the language. Kach is par hashor. Like hilu, this is like a well-known shor. The gam omra b'seinu, and Chazal also say, mention this, shmai naveris asa b'aisit par. That there were eight averis that each one of them would pasal a carbon that were happening with this par. They were all, b'mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem commanded Kiddin to do it, despite the fact that it breaks eight rules. But matam yesh v'dov tzepes. Like, why would the Rebbeinu Shem do that? So, hinyan kach. So we're not going to be able to answer all the questions yet, but at least just to begin to open up the sug. Hinyan kach, says the Rami Panu. Again, you have to be a Rami Panu to know these things. Hinyan kach, he says like this. Hinyan is like this. The Gidin osim Menashe. Yeah, Gidin comes from Menashe. Ha-Bechor de Yosef, who's the Bechor of Yosef, right? Menashe Nefraim is the Bechor of Yosef. The Noilam ni Osnas, Bashchem ben Chamor. Right, again, Menashe, Gidin is from Menashe. Menashe is the son of Yosef, the Bechor of Yosef, right? And Yosef, and he's born from Yosef and Osnas, who Osnas is the daughter of Dina and Shechem. V'nizgal gel Shechem ben Chamor b'shor zeh l'tikunai. And Shechem needs a tikkun. At some level, the whole thing needs a tikkun over here. So a spark of Shechem, something was Nizgalgel, right, was incarnated in this shor, and by Gidoin being makir of this shor, it's causing a tikkun to that whole inyan of Shechem and Dina. It's bringing a tikkun to that. Va'ata ba Gidoin, davim b'nei Yosef. Now Gidoin, who's the shofet of Menashe, who's the ikar of Yosef, now comes v'tikkun ovis. The Hava Behem, and it's fixing the kilkel, the problem that was there by Dina and Shechem, which produced Osnas, which produces Menashe, and Gidon comes to fix that. B'yosim barim Osnas, since they come from Osnas, that's why the word Shor is it's like Rosh HaTevis of Shechem ben Chamor. It's like a hybrid. That's why it's a par. They brought a par. What is he calling it a Shor for? It's Hashor, because it's a reference that. Shark, like with Streklach, Shechem ben Chamor is in this par. That's what's going on over here. So, okay, so now you have another puzzle piece. So somehow Shechem, so there's a number of things going on over here. You have Gidoin is being Isaac in two things at the same time, which obviously can't be random. He's being Isaac on the one hand in the tikkun of Shechem and Dina, because he's the shofet of Menashe, so he's being Isaac in that. And he's being Isaac in that in an act of undermining the Baal. Right? So it means it must be that the issue of Shechem and Dina is the idion of Baal. And so by Gidoin saving Klal Yisrael from the Avodah Zarah of Baal, which is what he's doing by bringing a carbon on the Mizbech of Baal, he's called Yerubal. That itself is also a tikkun for Shechem and Dina, right? That's what we see. Okay. Yeah? One of the puzzle pieces. In the Kisver, you find the following idea. The inyan of Shechem and Dina resurfaced a little bit later on in Jewish history by the story of Midian, by the women of Midian. Remember, by after Bilam, right? Bilam and Balak, the whole mice over there. So at the end, Bilam tells Balak in Eitz HaTaiva, to get the women of Midian to seduce Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael should fall into problems with the women of Midian, right? And so it comes to a head, right, with Cosby and Zimri, right? Zimri, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, comes and takes Cosby, who was a princess of Midian, and they're together. Pinchas comes and he kills them, but that 24,000 shamas were killed because of that mice. So the Arizal writes, it's a big aside, that the Arizal says is that Zimri and Cosby were gulgulim of Shechem and Dina. There was an inyan of Shechem and Dina over there. There was an inyan of Shechem and Dina. There was a reemergence of that inyan of Shechem and Dina resurfaced in Cosby and Zimri. Cosby and Zimri. So, now by the way, therefore it's not a coincidence that the bad guys over there were Midian. There was the women of Midian, which is exactly who are the bad guys over here by Gidoin. It's also Midian. So you see what's going on over here. I guess what we have over here is, again, a bunch of puzzle pieces. You have this issue of Shechem and Dina is the same. It is resurfaced with Cosby and Zimri. That's what was going on, which was also right before we got into Eretz Yisrael. Right, that was the generation of the Midbar already passed away. The only people that were there, these were the generations of Boi Ha'aretz coming into Eretz Yisrael. Where'd the whole problem of the women of Midian come from? Because Bilaam gave this as an etzah to Balak, who hired Bilaam to stop Klal Yisrael from coming into Eretz Yisrael. Right? And it's until there, every other issue that we had, this was the first issue that Klal Yisrael had in terms of an obstacle to Eretz Yisrael. So you see that so this inyan of Shechem and Dina again resurfaces with Cusby and Zimri, which sort of awakens the klipa of Midyan, about Midyan, and this is the same thing that will then sort of morph into the Avodah Zarah of Baal, which is an Eretz Yisrael dikah problem, just like the women of Midyan was the mania to Eretz Yisrael, so now it sort of remorphs as Baal in Eretz Yisrael, and Gidon, who's coming to undermine Baal, to get rid of that clip of Baal, and to therefore fix Cosby, Shechem and Dina, is at the same time doing this to fight against Midian, which are the bad guys which are the people by Cosby and Zimri. So it's this. So we have to identify what this Nakuda is, but there's some sort of evil, there's some sort of klipa that's shape-shifting. You know what I mean? It's Shechem and Chamor, it's Cosby and Zimri, the women of Midian, it's Baal, and somehow this is a job of Gidon as the Shevet of Menashe to give a tikkun to all of this. You follow this?
Yeah.
So Shevet Shimon also, right? Shevet Shimon, we're going to see about that also. Yosef, right? Because they were the one, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, that's Zimri, yeah.
Yosef keeps him as a Mashma.
Yeah. In the Gemara, it's interesting, the Ritzavik makes this observation. When the Gemara, in the class, the usual is like, if you're trying to make a scenario, so in learning, it's like, you know, Reuven and Shimon, right? That's like, you know, Reuven and Shimon go to Bezdin. You know, that's the, in the Gemara in Gidden, when the Gemara wants to just like give an example of a person's name for Hilchos Gidden, the Gemara uses the example of Yosef and Shimon. Yosef and Shimon, like that's the Ratzavik with his brilliance in a couple places proves that was actually an uncommon name. So you would think maybe he picks that because that was like a common name. It was actually uncommon. So, and his explanation, but Bez Hashem will get there. Okay, so fine. So we're following so far. These are the bouncing balls. Okay, so let's see what we got over here. Take a look at Marmok number 3. So this is these types of sugyas you need Rav Tzadok, because like it's the only one that could juggle so many things. So take a look at Rav Tzadok in Marmok number 3. It's from Takanas Hashavim, piece Yud Beis. This is like in parentheses. So he Rav Tzadok in parentheses in a certain piece throws something out there, and it's a. So let's talk about Baal for a second. What was the Avodah Zarah? So Avodah Zarah. So it was an Avodah Zarah. But what's the Nakuda that makes Baal unique? What's the unique Nakuda of Baal? So he says like this. Rav Tzadok is referencing a Gemara that later on in Jewish history there was one of the kings of Klal Yisrael was called Achav. Achav was a big Russia, and he was Mechazek Avodah Zarah. And the specific Avodah Zarah that Achav, you know, pushed was Baal. So that's the context. So he says like this: Shechidesh avaydes habal biYisrael. Achav was mechazik Baal Klal Yisrael. Sheikar avaydasoi. So says Rav Tzadok, the ikar avayd of Baal kfi hanirik zas, the way it seems, haya bepeh, was by kissing. What was unique to Baal? Every avodah zarah has certain standard things: bowing, sacrificing. But that's standard. It's from the unique quality. That's the sort of you can like figure it out, right? What was the unique avodah that was only Baal that you didn't find anything else? It was kissing. You didn't have kissing the Baal. They would have the plastic toys, but they would have necklaces. They would. It was like an avodah of kissing. Shenemar, it says in the Sefer Melachim that when Klal Yisrael were trying to sort of weed out from them people that worship the Baal, so it says hapeh ashaloi noshaklo. Right, one of the things is that you know they were trying to weed out people. They were trying to find mouths that didn't kiss the bell. It's like evidently that was a form of avodah. So he says like this: kriyas berkayim, kneeling and bowing. So ishtach avayin huga b'kol avodah zarah. Yes. So he says you'll find in Tanakh, in Nach, that they bow down to Baal or they sacrifice to Baal. But that's That's standard. All of Avodah Zarah are like that. So, you know, that's not... Visa gamba Avodah Hashem. There's such a thing in Avodah Hashem also. Ba'alim, b'kriyas, ishtach avoyis, b'migdash, b'shas tefillah. Avon neshikas peh. They didn't have kissing. Nirat d'neschadish azay de'achav ba'avodah Zabal. This is introduced to Klal Yisrael with Avodah Zabal. Now, what's interesting is, like with all things, what starts off as a negative, with time, sometimes can become purified. So, that, you know, we don't... So there's also like you kiss a sefer Torah, you kiss forms, you have kissing. Where's the origin of that? Mm. This is also part of it. What's that? So obviously it's a sign of love and an attachment, but the primius. So it's interesting, the avoid of kissing and the chashivas of kissing was introduced through the Baal. And now the Baal is gone, so what remains behind is the kissing chashiva things. Okay.
So the thing that Acha was the one that initiated this kissing?
So it sounds like that he yeah, because he's talking about a Gemara. He's saying it's a face in his eye. The Gemara says we're not masik these people. You know, even the Rishayim then were much more sophisticated than us. So like the Gemara says that even the worst of the kings of Klal Yisrael's history, they were Isaac and Taras Kahan, and they were like they were big lamdonim. They were not these are not small people. And the Gemara says, for example, that Achav. Who introduces the Baal, was able to darshan Taras Kahanim in 85 different ways. That's what the Gemara says, 85 different ways. So it says for Tzaddik, 85 is from Ashepeh. Ashepeh. So there's some sort of strange thing going on over here that Achav, it's a klipa, he's introducing the Baal, but somehow in that he's also introducing the world of Kedusha to the Avoida of Nishika, of kissing, of in good things, in good ways, but it's fine. So now we have a little bit of a Pesach. Yeah, so now we have to, now we hone in, now the Pesach is, what's the inning of Neshika? Right, once we, now, right, because once we answer that, what's the inning of Neshika, now we'll know what Baal is, we'll know how this has to do with Asnas, with Shechem and Dina, why it has to do with Midian, why does it have to do with the women of Midian over there, leading up before Eretz Yisrael, like, the whole inning. Okay, so take a look at Marmok and the Rafor, a piece from the Vilna Gaon. I'll read the words and I'll try to explain. This is the from the Vilna Gaon in Safra Tznias and Perek Aleph is in the beginning. So the Vilna Gaon says like this: Shu zivug abba v'ima v'chu shesaid zivugam hu beside nishuk ki yedua v'impan v'panim beside per adababai yishakenim v'nishikas piu. All right, you got it? Yeah, we're good. Okay, so he's saying like this. In the Kabbalah Svarim, we find the following terminology. I'll say the terminology, and then we'll explain B'derech HaVayit. So in the terminology, in Kabbalah, we find the following idea, is that we know the tachas of all things is dveikus, is to be attached, is to have a yichud between Kudsha Brichu Shchente, between Hashem and the Neshama. That's the tacht. In Kabbalah, we find that there's two different descriptions, two different madrigas of that yichud. There's one that's called... Again, it's all mush. It's all mush. I don't want to talk about anything physical. But one description is the terminology that's used is yichud of zachar nekeva, or the like the Kabbalistic sprach that the neshama likes hearing more is zerampin v'nukva. Zerampin means zachar nekeva. That's one level. But then there's a higher level of dveikus that's called the yichud of abba v'ima. Abba v'ima. Now again, we're not going into details of what this means, but here's the point. In Kabbalah, the fundamental difference between the yichud of the madrega that's called Abba V'ima versus the madrega that's called just Stam Zachar Nekeva is that when you're dealing with a yichud that's called Zachar Nekeva, sometimes there's a yichud, sometimes there's not a yichud. Sometimes it's face to face, sometimes it's back to back. Sometimes you're in a good place, sometimes you're not in a good place. What's the chiddush of Abba V'ima? Is they're always together, always punim upanim, right? That's in very simple terms, right? You have a kid. So, but as the adult, right? So, marriage and relationships is complicated. Sometimes it's face to face, sometimes it's back to back. We understand that. But if you're a kid relative to your parents, as far as you're concerned, the way it's supposed to be is that as far as you're concerned, your parents are always on the same page, right? So, abba v'ima, obviously, to call someone father, mother, it means from the perspective of the child, right? So from that perspective, abba v'ima means always on the same page, never disagree, never. And then when you as get married and you're disagreeing, you think to yourself, I'm the one that's messed up because I must be the first, me and my wife must be the first couple to ever fight because I never saw that by my parents. You know what I'm saying? So again, that's abba v'ima means always face to face, always dvekis, always yichud. And zochin akeva means sometimes yes, sometimes not. But here's the oimet. Not only is that difference between Abba V'im and Zohar Nekeva, right? I mean, you understand, the terminology is a little bit funny, because Abba V'im are also Zohar Nekeva. But again, just for our purposes. So I hope that's not too confusing. That's the easiest part of the thing. But anyway, so here's the point. That difference between Abba V'im and Zohar Nekeva, the Pashtus is like just in terms of like quantity. In other words, like Abba V'im is always together, and Zohar Nekeva is sometimes yes, sometimes not. But the truth is, we understand this, is that any relationship that could be yes and could be not, if there's a possibility of it being sometimes Ocher Bocher, it means that when it's face-to-face, it's not 100% one. That's why in the Kabbalah Svarim you'll find that Madrega that's called Abba V'ima, it's not only that they're face-to-face always, but Kechod Desharyon, they're literally considered to be one entity. One entity that's like one person with two, like literally attached. Not pshat, two people that are always face-to-face. When you have two people that are face-to-face, it means there's a possibility of them not being face-to-face. And that means even when they are face-to-face, it's not one. Abba V'ima is kechad desharyin, kechad enafkin, they exist as one, it's literally one. So it's not just that they're always face-to-face, but because they're always face-to-face, and there's not even a hava mina of there being anything other than face-to-face, it means that when they are face-to-face, it's 100% face-to-face. So it's a mile in consistency, and it's a mile, therefore, in quality. In the very essence, it's mamish pan b'panim. Now let's go back to the Vilna Gaon. Says the Vilna Gaon, whatever he's talking about in the Zohar Kaddish is not for now, but he says like this, shuzivug abba v'ima. That this yichud that's called Abba V'ima, shesoid zivugam hu besoid nishuk. So when you find nishikin, what does it mean nishuk? In Avodas Hashem, in Pnimius, in the Neshama, in Elikus, nishuk means a code word for a yichud of Abba V'ima. That level union. Vein ponim b'ponim, real ponim b'ponim. Like zoch, you guys the kash and the groin mean zoch and akiv is also ponim. But you don't need Abba V'ima to be ponim b'ponim. The answer is, nah. If the only Abba V'ima is true panim b'panim, because true panim b'panim means that there's no possibility of there being anything else. Besoid pe'al pe'adaber boy. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, it's such a funny, Hashem says, what does the pasuk mean? Hashem says about Moshe Rabbeinu, I speak to him mouth to mouth. One second. You speak to someone mouth to mouth. You speak to someone mouth to ear. What does it mean mouth to mouth? What does it mean pe'al pe'adaber boy? The answer is, what do you do mouth to mouth? That's neshika, that's kissing. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was like, in the Shema language, Moshe Rabbeinu is Abba V'ima. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is always on, right? That's what was unique to his Nevuah, right? There was no sometimes yes, sometimes no, right? He was always ready for Nevuah. That's not just a matter of like consistency. That means that even when, that means relative to Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, because he was always ready, it means that when he had Nevuah, it was mamish 100%. That's called Pe'al Peh. Yishakenim and Ashikas Piu. That's the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so now we have the Nakuda. Now, by the way, so now let's understand. So the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to so let's translate this in Avodas Hashem. So what does it mean Nashika? What are you saying when you kiss a Sefer Torah? Right. Let's put it the other. What are you saying? Right. What are you saying? When you kiss a Sefer Torah, you kiss a Sefer, whatever it is, you know, it was just, we just had Shabbos Ishvitzah, they said, there's a Maisa with the Beis Yaakov, Rabbi Yankel Ishvitzah, the Mordechai Yosef's son. So he used to give a shir, a Gemara shir, that started by midnight, Chatzais, and it went till Shachris. And it was for the big Chassidim. It's a complicated shir. So there's a Maisa that there was a young Chassid that went to the shir, and he had a Riches Yamim. So, and he went through tzaras in life. So he used to say that after all the years of the tzaras that he went through, he doesn't remember like the Torah that the Beis Yaakov said. That's what he said. I'm sure he remembered something. He said, but what he does remember is the kiss that the Beis Yaakov gave to the Gemara at the end of this year. That he remembers the kiss. So what's the avodah of him? So it's like this. There's two different ways of having a connection to Yiddishkeit. There's one way is like Zachar Nekeva, which is like, you know, like Torah is amazing. I'm learning and it's Gevaldik. But in the back of the mind, there is a theoretical possibility of there being like without, you know, without this. But I'm choosing this. And that's a beautiful Zach. But that means that even when you're connected to it, there's a space. What does it mean to kiss? To kiss means is that peh el peh darabai, zivug abavim, is like, this is the only thing that exists. There's not even a havamin of anything else. I don't even understand what you're talking about. Like I don't even understand what you're talking about. Like, this is reality. This is the only thing that exists. There's no two options that I'm choosing this. This is it. That's called neshika. Let's understand. That's the difference between Klal Yisrael. That's what Hashem wanted of us when we get to Eretz Yisrael. What does Eretz Yisrael mean? The difference between, you know, it says in Pasuk regarding our time in the Midbar, Lechtech Acharai B'Midbar. Acharai means Achar B'Achar, means back to back. What's Eretz Yisrael relative to that? Panim B'Panim, face to face. That's why it was the Nisan. What was the Nisan of the Raglim? To go to Eretz Yisrael and to see nature and to see Derech HaTeva, to see Kananim, v'chulu, and not to get flustered by that, even a kiyuzet. Why? Because the avodah of Eretz Yisrael is, I don't even see it. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. It's Abba V'ima. It's like, that's all there is. And so that's what Eretz Yisrael demands. So what's the Baal? The Baal is anti-Neshika, right? It's taking Neshika in the other way. So what's the Klipa of the Baal? The Klipa of the Baal is very interesting, and that's what's subtle. And that's what we're going to see. That's what Midyan is. The Klipa of the Baal is avada, like learn all day long and daven and skavaldik, but you know there's other options. No, don't do other options. But you know there's other options. That's the nikud. It's taking the din of neshika and ripping it away from Yiddishkeit.
That's why Amalek loves it.
Of course, Amalek loves it because. Let's understand this on a deeper level. On a deeper level, the site of Abba V'Ima is in terms of Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people. So until now, I described it in terms of the Jews' relationship with Torah. But on a much zoomed out plane, the Indian of Neshika with Hashem and us, because Yishakenim and Neshika speak means Hashem and the Jewish people are described as kissing each other. It means it's not the pshat that there's many nations, and Hashem chose us. That's Zachar Nekevedik. But the site of Abba V'Ima is that all there is Knesset Yisrael, and that's it. Ata echad, v'shimcha echad, mik amcha yisoga yechad baretz. That's why in the Kavanis, we say that by Mincha, right? So in the Kavanis, in the Kisver, we find that by Mincha, that tefillah of Mincha, that's the Madreg of Abba V'Ima. So that's what it means. There is nothing else. That is exactly the point that Amalek can't stand. Amalek, because the nekuda hapnimis of Amalek is, what do you mean that you're different? You're not different. You're a nation amongst nations that God chose you. Maskin. See, every other nation, the Rashis Goyim Amalek, right? The Amalek is the beginning, right? That everything, every one of the 70 nations means a particular Yetzihara. But what's the very root of that? Amalek is not a Yetzihara. What's Amalek? Amalek is, you're a person like everyone else. Now that you're a person like everyone else, now you can be susceptible to this Yetzirah and to that Yetzirah. But you're not the only thing that exists. You're not a piece of the Shekhinah. What are you? You're a human being. Yeah, a human being that God chose. Maskin. But there's possibility of other things. So the klipa of Amalek is specifically attacking this nekuda of Yishakenim and Yishikas Piyu. That's why it's Moshe Rabbeinu that has his hands up. He's the one that fights against it. In Pnimius, the Melchama against Amalek is with Moshe. Moshe is the one that fights that. This is why the beginning of Baal, the very, very racist is what? Is Shechem with Dina. What does it mean, Shechem and Dina? It means you're not special. You're a human being like anyone human being, and there could be such a mitzias as intermarriage. Lo Aleinu. What does it mean, Shechem and Dina? It means that, you know, boy meets girl, and that's true in every culture, in every society. And they give, you know, that's the beginning, that's undermining Yishakenim and Shikas Piyu, you understand? So, yeah. No, that wasn't Baal. That was Baal Par. It's a different type of Zarya.
Baal is the husband. Neighborhood.
No, that's, it means relationship, yeah. So here. This is why we'll see this. That's why Midyan. Why is Midyan? What does the word Midyan mean? So in the Zohar Kaddish, we find that there's some. The word Midyan means. Midonin means an argument. What does it mean, an argument? Not like such a breakdown in Shalom Bayis, you have to go to the Rav. Like, I'm not talking about that. There's something called, in the Zohar Kaddish, there's a klipa, there's a shter to Shalom Bayis that's called Eishes Nunin, and there's a klipa to shter Shalom Bayis that's called Eishes Midonin. Eishes Nunin means you got serious problems and don't go to Rav, go to a marriage counselor. You know, that's Eishes Nunin. What's Eishes Midonin? Eishes Midonin is, you know, can talk to little, you know, slight issues. It's little, you know, it's not a. You see, but that's what Midyan means. Avada, there's no other chas v'shalom. It's not terrible, but it's not neshika. Understand? That's Midyan. That's Midyan. That's why. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu become Moshe Rabbeinu? Where does he have to go? Just go to Midyan, because Moshe Rabbeinu means pel peradaber boy. Moshe Rabbeinu means abba v'ima. That's why it's interesting. Who stands up for Gideon when he's being threatened by the people of the city? His father. Gideon is a shofet. He can handle himself. He becomes he could certainly handle himself. What does he need his father for? That's the side. The side is, this whole Indian is an awakening of Abba V'Imas. So he needs, so his father comes to protect him. That's the side that's going on over here. Okay, take a look at Maramukh number 5. Okay, so... So that's the Nakuda. We're going to see that's why it's interesting. Again, we're not going to get to this. I'm saying it now, so I guess we are getting into it this week. But it's interesting when the Malach first appears to Gideon, right? So the Malach first appears to Gideon, and the Malach says, while Gideon is middle of the night and he's working the land under the cover of darkness, so the Malach says to him, Hashem imcha gibor chayil. Hashem is with you, like Yashakayach. So what does Gideon say? So So Gideon responds like this. Vayomer Elov Gideon. So Gideon says, "Be Adoni, like, with all due respect, you know, which always means something." So with all due respect, he says, "Vayesh Hashem imanu." You tell me Hashem is with me. I don't care if Hashem is with me. Is Hashem with us, with Klal Yisrael? Why did all this happen to us? Where are all the miracles that our parents have told us? See, Abavima. Chazal say this was Pesach morning. This was Pesach morning this is happening. It was right after the Seder. So the Seder is what? The God de Labincha. His parents telling children. It's the Cyrus of Abavima. So Dafkin now, Gideon is now saying, "Where all the I just heard about Yitzhak. My father just told me about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right? God took us out of those problems. What about now, right? Halav Mitzrayim Elanu Hashem. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Va'atin Natashnu Hashem. Hashem is forsaken us. We need to be a Kaf Midyan, and now we're in the hands of Midyan. Va'yifin Hashem, Yifin Elav Hashem. So Hashem appears to Gideon. V'yomer, he says, "Leich b'chachach hazeh. Oh, good gezakt. Go with this strength. V'yishat es Yisrael and save the Jewish people. Mikaf Midyan." From the hands of Midian, Eloi Shalachticha, behold, I have sent you. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, go with the strength. Says Rashi, B'koyach haschus hazeh, with this merit, Shalamad de Sanigari Albana, that you said good things about Yidden, that you're Malamid Schus, go with that strength. It means that what did he say? Rashi says before, that what he was saying was like this. Im tzadikim hoyaviseinu. So he says like this, M'mono shachter b'mshim should protect us, should take us out of our tzara now. Why? If our ancestors were tzaddikim, yasalanu b'schusam, then the children should be saved in the schus of the abba v'ima, in the schus of the parents. V'im rishayim ayu, and if our ancestors were rishayim, so k'shem sh'asal hem neflois b'chinam, so if Hashem performed miracles for them for no reason, so let him do it for us also, it's an afkamin. So whatever it is, the children should be like the parents. Whatever would happen to the parents, should happen to the children. Says Hashem, oh, you said good things about Yidden. Right, you said good things about me. Exactly. That's it. What does it mean to say good things about Jews? It means there's no shter. It means you're being mechazik in the neshika, right? Neshika. if you have, in Hashem's relationship with us, even if the scales tilt towards the side of Schus, if there's another scale of negative that's just being overweighed, it's still not Neshika. Neshika means Klal Yisrael is the only people and everything's perfect and there's no ketata, there's no disturbance. It's completely good. So Gidon, again, yeah, that's the void of saying good things about Jews is this inyan of neshika, of allowing the yichud of Hashem and the Jewish people to be abav imatik. Because if there's any kitrik, if there's any prosecution, even if the prosecution is ignored, but if there is epis of prosecution, it means that any level of yichud is not going to be abav imatik. Because it means there's some argument, there's some, it's not 100%. You understand what I'm saying? So the whole union of Gidon to undermine the Baal, to be Misakin, Shechem, and Dina, and to get rid of the Midian and Amalek, is all maybe Mechazik, this union of saying good things about Jews. And when you look at another year, there is no issue at all between him and the Rabbanu Shalom. There's nothing. There's no. All there is Hashem and the Jew. Like, that's it. There's no possibility of there being a breakdown in the relationship, and Nafal Pekin is not being broken down. There's no issue. That's Gidon. So take a look at Maramaka number 5. So that's the Nekuda Pnimis of what's going on over here. So take a look at Maramaka number 5. This is or Tzadik and Takanas and Shavim. A few more minutes. And Aisvav. Rav Tzadik over here is talking about the whole sugya of Rachel and Leah and the different Shvatim and Yosef and Yehuda. It's a big sugya, but he says like this. He says, interesting. We'll be able to read through it quickly, I think. The Ilu Zachu v'noilad Yosef Meleya. So Rav Tzadik says like in the, he says an amazing thing. The Etzem, if we know the Chazal say that when Leah was pregnant, so she was pregnant with a boy, which was going to be Yosef. But she saw Chazal say that if I have Yosef, she says, that means Rachel is only going to have one child, Binyamin. And she's not even going to have as much as the Shvachas, as Bilhah and Zilpah. So says the Gemara, so Dana Din La'atzma, that's what the Gemara says, that Leah made this cheshbon, Dana Din, she made this like quick calculation of like 1 second. If I have a boy, it means Rachel only has one son. And so she was Mespal, and the baby was turned into a girl, and that was Dina. That's what she called Dina, from the word Din. Listen to what Tzadik says, listen to this. Ilu zach v'noilad Yosef Meleya. Listen, only Rav Tzadik can say this. If Yosef was born from Leah, kvar hoya oz kain tikkun kol zera Yaakov v'shleimus. That would have been the tikkun. Because that means Yosef and Yehuda would have been from the same mother. They would have been on the same page. No problems. It would have been a yichud of Yosef. Whatever, Mashiach Meis, Mashiach Mendovit, you name it. Al tzitzkitz. That's what it would have been. K'may she lost it. V'zar de Rachel hoysa bin Yamin levad. What would Rachel be? Rachel would just be bin Yamin. Ulfish Rachmal Rachel. But because Leah had Rachmanis on Rachel, v'rotza lahashlam kaimasa, and she wanted to fully develop the stature of Rachel, so Rachel should have two children. Aideza donedin ba'atzma. So what does it mean? What does it mean don dematzma? It means that this is a paltik azach. It means Leah was ma'ir midas hadin that Klal Yisrael are not ready for gula. We're not deserving of gula, and by doing that, she stopped Yosef from being born from herself. And instead of that, it was Dina. That's what it means, Dona Din. It means she did L'Shem Shemayim, because she wants Rachel to be developed. But in order for Rachel to be developed, it means you have to throw a wrench in Geula. And the wrench in Geula means to be Makatrig and to cause some sort of prosecution and to say, Klal Yisrael are not 100% deserving yet. Which means that Dina comes into the world because of that Kitrig. Not enough Chas V'Shalom to make it, but Midyan, Midonim, there's a Klal Yisrael are not Ata Echa V'Shem Rechav Migam Chizoga Echa Baritz. It's not, we're not there yet. Which means, therefore, Dina comes into the world with an inyan of, we're a nation amongst nations. Memela, she's now susceptible to Shechem. So it means the very emergence of Dina in the world was coming from this inyan of, we're not holding by Ata Echa V'Shem Rechav Migam Chizoga Echa Baritz. There is a makom for kitrig. That's how she was able to make sure that Yosef was not born from her. But here's the great nekuda. It's like when eventually Yosef marries Osnas, Ishta Kegufa, yeah? So Ishta Kegufa means that on some level there's a tikkun of like, you know what, Yosef is taka from the world of Rachel, from Leah as well, which means there is no kitrin. And then Menashe, who comes from that, then eventually Gidon, who's the judge of Menashe, comes to fully be misakin this by only saying good things about Yidden, undermining the Baal, and reintroducing Neshika to Klal Yisrael and Avodas Hashem, and allowing the land of Eretz Yisrael to produce properly for Yidden only. That's also part of it, right? I mean, the land is producing, and all of a sudden the Paris are going to Midian. The produce of the land means yichud, right? When the rain comes, to the land is the feminine. The rain is like the masculine. The produce of the fields, that's like v'hoyu l'basar echad. Rashi says alkin yazavish is avivis imay v'davak b'ishtoy v'hoyu l'basar echad. Says Rashi to the child. So the child, which is like the produce, turns the heaven and earth into abba v'ima. So Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a place of Abba V'ima, supposed to be a yichud of Abba V'ima through the produce. But when the produce is going to the Midyan, it's not allowing Eretz Yisrael to be a place of Abba V'ima. You follow this? It's not allowing that to be. It's keeping it in just Zachar Nekeva, without it being able to ascend to Abba V'ima. Again, what does it mean Abba V'ima? Abba V'ima, and again, if heaven, if the rain and the land is Zachar Nekeva, then the way to elevate that to, instead of Zachar Nekeva, to Abba V'ima, is if it produces Paris for Klal Yisrael. So Midyan comes and stares us from being able to have the produce of the land. Why? Because their Nekuda is what? And that's Baal. Same Avar deserves Baal. We deserve that because we fell into Baal. Because that's the Nekuda. We're not, Klal Yisrael, we're unfortunately failing in this Nekuda of moving beyond Zachar Nekeva to get to Abba V'ima. Therefore, the manifestation of that is what Midyan, taking away the Paris of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the land is still producing, right? There's still rain. So it's still Zachar Nekeva, but it's not Abba V'ima, because it's not producing Paris for us. So that's what's going on over here. So there's that's all that's going on. So comes Gidon, who's from Sheva Menashe, going back and being Misakin, Shechem, and Dina, right? Through Yosef HaTzadik, right? Ishtai Kegufai, saying that no, Taka, the din that Leah evoked to make Yosef outside of Leah's universe is not really true, because Yosef marries Osnas, right, who is daughter of Dina, and Ishtai Kegufai, which means that Yosef is part of Leah's universe. So that itself, the inyan of Yosef marrying Osnas and producing Menashe, whose shayfet is Gidon, is itself the avoida of saying good things about Jews. You follow this? It itself means removing any barrier between Hashem and the Jewish people of At Echa V'Shim Recha Mecham V'Yisrael Gavarez, which means it's basically an avoida of saying that Klal Yisrael is worthy of Geula. That's what it means. It's like, the Avada were worthy of Gula. The opposite of what Leah had to say or had to evoke in order to produce Adina was to say that we're not ready for Gula. Gidon says, of course we're ready for Gula. The monoshach, if we're tzaddikim, then good. If we're not tzaddikim, then they weren't either then. Is this somewhat clear? Okay. So take a look. It's late already. Okay, let's just go quick. But now this should be clear. So he says like this. Nachmal, second line. Ulafisha Rechmal Rachel by five. Ulafisha Rechmal Rachel, since Leah had Rechmanis on Rachel, Vratzel Ashel Kaimasa, and wants to develop her stature, so Ayadeza Donadin Ba'atzma. So therefore, Leah creates a Midas Hadin. Vahoydis, and she acknowledges the Mitzad Midas Hadin Hakosha, that according to Midas Hadin, Adayin Lahigia is Manatikon Agomer. The time of Tikkun has not come. Vaideis and Isabich Ledina. And this is why Yosef turns into Dina. Right? Oisias Din, Amidasa. Vahei Besoif, the final Hey in Dina's name, remezes Lenuk for Shechina. That's the Shechina, that's the Klal Yisrael. So it's like Din Hey. They were talking not worthy of Geula. Chaz v'Shalom. Shaideis Agora, Maisa Shechem, Shenidagaboy. And this inyan of thinking that Klal Yisrael is not worthy of Kiyachal of Gula means because we're a nation of there's a shaykhis between us and the Umas Olam. That's Shechem. The Kasher, now he says like this, the Kasher Hoya, Rotzin Les Galas, Yisoy, Da'aba Ba'olam, when the what's called in the Kabbalah storm Yisoid Abba, knows that that Madreg of Abba v'Ima, which is us getting into Eretz Yisrael, when that's Eretz Yisrael, right, face to face, Bemis. But now that it's the time for that awakening, but now there's a real. But what's the klipa that stands in the way? That it's the klipa of Shechem and Chamor. It's the klipa of Dina, not Dina Chazir. I'm saying that that hisoiris of Midas Hadin that Leah had to make a Dina, which was Shechem and Chamor, which is Midyan and so on, that now resurfaces at the moment that Klal Yisrael is ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, and that's Kozbi and Zimri. Kozbi and Zimri is a reemergence of Shechem and Din. It's the same minyan. This Ira Kitrig, Midas Adin, so Garmis Aris Adin Belial, Boesa Madregis, and now it creates an awakening from the other side. So here, take a, go to the next line, just I want to go quick. Vaidezeh, so now as we're at the cusp of Eretz Yisrael to get to that Madreg of Abba V'ima, of Neshika, of Mamish, At Echad, Vishimcha Echad, Umi Kam Chisrael, Goy Echad Baratz, that's what Eretz Yisrael means, right? Heinam Levadad Yishkon, that we're Mamish alone, and there's no Shaykhis to any Goyim, it's like Mamish, just us. And Abba V'ima, that Madrega, Nisar Koyach Eishis Madonim. So now you have an awakening of Midyan, and the women of Midyan, which means, it's not Abba V'ima, it's a Shter. He says it like this, V'hamidyonim he Mizer Avram. Where did Midyan come from? Midyan comes from this, from the children of Keturah, right? Which was from Avram Avinu. But it's not Avram Avinu. It's not like Yishmael. Yishmael is a klipa. Yishmael is just a znos. Yishmael is stam a taivis. What's Midyan? Midyan is already not so taivis. It's not a katata. It's an interference with Shalom Bayis. It's not a breakdown. Yishmael is a breakdown of Shalom Bayis. It's like they finished. Like it's time. That's get. But that's not, that's Yishmael. Midyan means, you know, it's just not 100%. Ki tavosim hi mutzim semes ksas. Midyan is also Taivis, but it's not Yishmol. Vloike Hefker Gomer Ki Yishmol. Rak Hiznos Beis Midyan. Shula Oyre Midonim Ben Yisrael Avim Shabashamayim. To cause a shter between us and Hashem. Valki Nikru Midyan. That's why they're called Midyan. Is that called Yeshem V'chesem? That's their Cheshek. That's what they want. Ki Yisoyed Abba. What does Abba mean? Ratzalayim Hiskashras Gomer. A full attachment. Doli Misparshim. That can't be separated. So you can't. Now the goal is obviously the other side, the Sitra Achra, their goal is breakdown in Shalom Bayis. Of course, that's the goal. But when you're holding by that Abba V'ima, you can't. Asia's Nunim is not. Yishmael is not going to be a Nisayan over there. So what you have to do is you have to first send Midyan, it's a Shter, right? And then once there's a separation, so then Yishmael can come along. Right? So he says, that's why Yosef HaTzadik was sold to Mitzrayim, right? But it was through Midyan, right? That what was about to say, that Yishmol to Midyan, yeah, Midyan and then eventually to Mitzrayim. That's what it is. So he says, Shudavar Mafir, V'gerim Shiluach, V'golos, Mashenk and Asotis, Eishes Medonim, Hurak Midvar Mo'erim, Ketot Kiregas. Again, a little bit of a fight. This is why Midyan and Amalek are always are very often connected. Because Amalek is the beginning. And the first expression of Amalek is with Midyan. That's the beginning of Rav. Amalek is the source. Amalek contains all the evil of all nations. But Visharish Midyan, but the Nakuda of Amalek is that Klal Yisrael are no different. And Midyan is taking that on the attack. V'sharish Midyan l'oyer medonim neged asharish v'yisayi d'arayis v'yisrael kulachad. This nekuda that Klal Yisrael and Torah Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shem was mamish one Abba v'imadik. That's where Midyan comes to shter, and that interferes with the madrega of yisayi Abba of Abba v'ima. And that's again. So Bez Hashem, maybe next week we'll. It's already late. I'm sorry, but next week we'll see how Moshe Rabbeinu plays. This all has to do with Yisroi, as you'll see. Because Yisroi is Kayan Midyan, right? Yisroi comes from Midyan. So it's ironic because that's like a good side of Midyan, right? The ability, what does a ger mean? It means that there is a the nations also have a shaykhis to us, but in a good way, when they could be Megayer. So, okay, well, let's Hashem, we'll see that next week. Okay. The Iker is that Klal Yisroi is worthy of Gula right now, Bez Hashem.